All right. All right, welcome to the Stop Money Anxiety Now live podcast, show number one, called Creating a Loving Relationship with Money. Welcome to our very first live broadcast of the Stop Money Anxiety Now podcast series. I am your host, Wei Hong, from the Six Figure Academy, and this is my co-host, Jessica.
Hello. Hi. What's up?
She's going to be representing the female counterpart and the millennial perspective, because I actually am not a millennial. And so we want to make sure that we cover as much ground as possible on this show so we get that little light youthful perspective. And so now this is the podcast where I give you real world tips, strategies, and interviews, and just like banter and discussions with you, the audience, and the guests that are on the show with other entrepreneurs on how to eliminate the destructive money habits and anxiety so that you can create a prosperous and abundant lifestyle in business, free of financial stress and worry. How are you, Jessica?
I'm great. Yeah, I just got back from Thailand a few days ago.
That's right.
So feeling super refreshed.
Yeah.
Really clear. And just, yeah, energized, excited.
Yeah. And how do you like the intro of this? You know, every time I hear the intro it reminds me of my dad, because that instrument that they use on that intro is actually an instrument that my dad plays.
Really? Yeah. I was like, yeah, no, it's, I mean, I like it. Yeah, I don't think my dad can't play any instruments, so.
That's too bad.
I trust you.
Music is a big deal in our family. And it's funny because my dad didn't learn until later in life. I mean, that instrument is, you know, when you go to Chinatown,
yeah,
and you see those old people that are sitting around,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's actually
your dad.
That's actually my dad. They're all my dad. No, that's just kidding. Okay, so, but anyway, yeah, so it's funny because you were telling me about Thailand,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And in Thailand, they have, what are they, what's the monetary value they have there? What they use?
THB, Thai baht. Yeah, it's 35 baht to $1. You could buy...
What is it called again? It's called a baht?
Baht, B-A-H-H-T.
Oh, not like a robot, but it's
no,
B-A-H-T.
Baht, yeah.
Like I bought something with baht.
But like baht.
So what did you buy? So I bought something with baht. So how do people tell the difference?
I bought a lot of food for a dollar over there.
For a baht.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, I mean, for 35 baht, you know, you could buy one really good, like a good dish of pad thai.
I'm sorry, every time you say baht, I'm thinking you're doing like the robot, like while you're buying things. Like, here's my
30. You can buy robots over there,
and then,
too.
And then you talk monotone-ish. Here's my 35 baht. I bought baht.
No. I mean, if you wanted to, you could, but I mean, all I bought was food. I'm a food enthusiast, so I was
all you bought was food.
Yeah.
I can tell you came back with virtually nothing but snacks. You know, I mean, you were barely dressed. You walk into the office, says, "I'm back. Here's a lot of food I bought with bought." You know, it might all seem like joking and fun, but this is the kind of relationship that we have with money at the Six Figure Academy. I mean, if you can't have fun with money, you know, bot.
Which is, yeah.
Yeah, bot. So that's going to be the thing, bot, B-A-H-T, bot. So 35 baht for a dollar.
Yeah, 35 baht.
And so how much is something like a bottle of water at
17 a baht.
A bottle of water, get it?
You're just on a roll.
I'm on a roll, right?
No, but I mean, a bottle of water you could buy for 17 baht.
17
which
baht,
is even,
like 50 cents?
Yeah, 50 cents.
50
yeah,
cents?
Yeah, I remember the first time I came back from Thailand, I was putting a quarter into the parking meter. It killed me. I was like,
that's your rent in Thailand. So I just put my rent to park for 15 minutes here. Not even that, it's like
Seriously,
8 minutes or something
I
like that.
Bought a meal.
You got a bot?
With a bot.
With
yeah.
a bot. With a bot. Okay. All right. Enough banter. So welcome back. And happy to have you back. And finally we can launch the show now
it's
that you're here.
Be
because
back.
For those of you who don't know, we did not launch the show because Jessica was not,
that's not
domestic.
True, guys. Don't believe anything that Lisa. Okay. Only money stuff.
Only money stuff. Everything else, don't buy into the bot. Anyway, all right, so let's talk about our guest today. I want, because he's sitting here and he's, it's kind of weird having him sitting here and be in a conversation but not really be in the conversation. So today we have Kerry Hokama from Own Yourself podcast. I like to say it that way, but it's called Own Yourself podcast, to talk about how he created a loving relationship with money. And the funny thing is, I talk about it all the time, but it's always interesting and fascinating to hear it from somebody else. Now, he's also an entrepreneur with at least 4 businesses, is the author of the similarly titled book called Own Yourself. And like I said, I could say Own Yourself. Yeah. And how Kerry and I met, I mean, we actually were introduced about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago. And it took us about a year to finally connect. One, because we're both really, really busy. I mean, this guy has 4 businesses as an entrepreneur. So if you can imagine, I mean, most people are pretty busy with 1. He's got 4. He's married, beautiful wife. She's got some things going on there. And so they've got some big things going on. And that's probably why we didn't get a chance to connect right away. And it worked out, because when we finally did connect, it was like amazing. It was awesome. It was like we didn't even skip a beat. It didn't seem like a year went by when we first introduced. And he's like another brother from another mother. I mean, we both had the same barber. If you guys look at the picture, and he's currently doing fitness work, training people as well, which what I used to do in the past as well. Jessica, you can appreciate that too, being a yogic Thai person, doing mm-hmm. Thai certified yoga instructor, mm-hmm. Thai massage therapist, and
yeah, health. Keeping up with the body is really important.
Really important, right? And so let me give you a little bit of background what this guy's all about for those of you who don't know. Okay. Kerry Hokama is a holistic transformational coach, which I love. And now he's going to probably go into a little bit more of what that means to him, to his audience, whose passion emerges from equipping individuals with the essential tools and skills required for self-mastery and personal transformation. And this is why, for those of you who know me, this is why I love this guy so much. His personal skills have ventured across all these commercial enterprises, as corporate management, entrepreneurial work, music, entertainment. And I just learned from him today that he also, NGOs is another way of saying NPOs, which is another way of saying nonprofit organization. And I didn't know what G stands for, and they told me non-governmental, right? Is that what you said, Jessica?
Yeah, yeah.
Non-governmental organization.
Yeah.
Right? Hopefully this thing stops. Okay, driven by the energy and vigor of his lively personality, which you guys will experience in just a few moments, I think I just get out of his way, his development as an established professional groups him amongst the world's most sought-after executive coaches and motivational speakers. To be honest, I have not heard from him speak yet, but just having the several meetings I've had with him, I could see how he could be amazing, and I've already introduced him to a few of my contacts to get him on more stages. Again, he's the author of Own Yourself, and host of the Own Yourself podcast. He's also owner and instructor of a We Shape LA Fitness, co-founder of Thou, which is a really cool thing. I'll let him talk about that, mm-hmm. which is a storytelling and media collective. I'd like to introduce you, everybody out there. Welcome to the show, Mr. Kerry Hokama.
Woo!
Yay! Hey. Yeah, we can actually give him a little bit of applause. Yay! There he is. Welcome.
Thank you. All I gotta say is that, man, the entire time that I was sitting right here listening to you guys, I'm thinking, put me in, coach! Man, but I really love it, man. I'm excited to just really sit here and learn from you guys and learn of the wonderful things that just comes out of our mouth. Sometimes you create that type of value just listening to whatever comes out at that moment. So yeah. I'm really excited about that, yeah, guys. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for being here. And we gave you your gifts. We gave you your man lotion to use during the show. For those of you who don't know, I have a lotion on my desk. That was apparently it was a gag gift, but it actually is
it
not.
Works.
It's actually
mm-hmm.
nice. It's called man lotion. It's actually lotion. Mm-hmm. And so, Kerry's been liberally using it. But let's get right to it, because I'm pretty sure, aside from us, showing you and talking to you about what we're all about here, I think what I really want to know, and I think what the audience would love to know, is how you went, and I'll let you tell your story, creating how you went from having every excuse on the planet and how you grew up to not have a loving relationship with money. Mm-hmm. In fact, to the opposite, mm-hmm. you could easily have created a very, very polaric relationship with money. I don't want to use the other word. But despite that, you ended up creating a very, very loving relationship with money, which is a big part of what we do here at the Six Figure. And that's why I want you to share your story. I mean, talk about a little bit about where you are right now when it comes to money, and then talk about where you came from. I mean, I think that would be a great place to start.
Sure. So where I'm at now is I call myself a kingmaker. And what that means is really I spent the first 33 years of my life trying to be a king. And so without going into to much, you know, into further detail right now because of, you know, the sequence that you had requested, Wei.
Yeah.
When I was 10 is when my father left the family in order to go and make more money. Essentially, her family broke up. And so up until maybe 7 years ago, it's funny you asked that question because tomorrow I'm releasing a podcast with one of the America's greatest bike builders that this generation has ever seen. And I thought I was on his hit list, meaning I thought I was going to be killed by this guy 7 years ago over some money. And I realized, wow, you know what? I was in a place where I had chased money. I had chased fame and popularity. All because I can do exactly what my parents weren't able to do. And so I did everything, right? I chased being a rock star. I started my own record label, tried to start a clothing line. And once that whole thing just crashed and I lost everything and I lost my identity, I lost just all the confidence in the world that a man can ever have when you're 30 years old, essentially. And having to start your life from scratch all over again, you start to realize, wow, man, what am I living for? And then everything just starts to hit. You start thinking, okay, well, what did I do wrong to be here, to be where I am today? And I think my story does start, you know, 7-8 years ago when that's when I just really dove into self-help and personal development material. I started reading my very first book was I believe it was How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that just really spawned a new mindset, if you will. And we'll get into that just because everyone these days, they say, oh, it's about the mindset. We'll get into that, right? Yeah. But it really that's how it really has just spawned a new birth of my relationship to this world, to money. And it was just really adding value. So again, I consider myself a kingmaker. I spent the first 33 years of my life trying to be a king. Until I dove into wanting to just really spend the rest of my life helping people. And though I'm not a religious person, I'm very spiritual. There's a character in the Bible named Samuel who spent his entire life building kings of his generation.
Huh.
And once I understood his character, I was like, wow, I'm Samuel. I am Samuel, man. You know, I spent the first 33 years of my life trying to be a king. But now I'm going to spend the rest of my life building the kings and queens of our next generation.
Uh-huh.
And from that day on, I did everything I could to just add value to people's lives. And my relationship to money had grown to where, you know, I'm able to, again, like you said, mentioned earlier, I have four businesses now that I truly enjoy doing every single day. And it's really adding value to other people's lives and at the same time creating that value so that we have the funds necessary to in order to create even more value for these people. And so that's in a nutshell where we're at. I was able to create a Amazon bestselling book last year called Own Yourself. Uh-huh. And then from that, I was able to create a podcast and we've had some guests. And then through that, my buddies and I created Thou Collective, which is a storytelling and media company, which our vision is to walk the ends of the earth, you know, sharing stories of amazing people doing amazing things regardless of their circumstances.
Right.
And so my vision today, my mission is to help other people live life at level 10 with inspired action every single day regardless of the circumstances.
Yeah. Love that. Love that. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we share all those links on the, you know, after we're done with the show to make sure that it's, you know, people can access and find you on all those different platforms. You know, one of the things that stood out to me is that you said you know about being kings. You know, that's a phrase that I hear very few people actually talk about. Can you define what do you mean by king? What do you mean by queen? You know, helping create more kings and queens on this planet. Because I mean, obviously, I'm thinking, well, if the planet's all kings and queens and nobody else, then it's kind of be a weird place.
Sure,
but
sure.
Yeah, help me define what is that? What do you mean by king?
That's a good question. I never really thought about what a king would mean to, say, Jessica or a queen, right, to Jessica, or what that means to you. And that would be more of a subjective definition of what that means. But I think for me, it's literally, it's what my mission is.
Uh-huh.
My mission is to help people live life, their life, at level 10 every single day, regardless of the circumstances.
To, mm-hmm. Like to their definition of what a king or queen means.
Right. I believe a king is someone who lives to his fullest potential.
Oh,
you know, a queen is for someone to live to her fullest potential. And I know that you and I had some banter, Jessica, going back and forth. And it was cool that you said, potential or just living to the fullest, mm-hmm. and unlocking that. And you're talking about how you spent your last couple of days in Thailand, mm-hmm. just realizing, well, if my if I died today, what would my tombstone read? Mm-hmm. You know, would your tombstone read, "Here lies Jessica. She had a ton of potential." Like, no one wants to be remembered as a potential.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Right. And so it'd be amazing if Jessica were to live her life and people come to her funeral and uh-huh. it says, "This is Jessica. Here lies Jessica. She did it."
Right.
She had nothing more to give because she did it all.
She gave it all. Right.
She gave it all.
You know, I ask that question all the time. Mm-hmm. People, like, if you were, you know, to see how fulfilled of a life are you living every single day? Like, if you were to just decide to leave the planet today, would you be happy with what you've left? Because, I mean, as entrepreneurs, we're constantly growing, right? And so we're constantly achieving more, setting a higher standard. And so from one moment to the next, is enough ever enough? I don't know. As entrepreneurs, do we even know what enough means?
Yeah, right.
And so that's kind of right in line with what I talk about. It's like, if you were to leave the planet today.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I got to a point where, like, it was a thought experiment. You know, I was really diving deep into really thinking, you know, tomorrow, it's like at the snap of a second, you know, something could happen, like on the plane or, you know, like climbing up the steps or... And it's, I just got to a point where I was just telling myself, you know, like, I don't want to choose which moments. I want to choose moment to moment. It's, you know, it's like a constant. You don't get to choose which type of day or, you know, the morning I'm like this, but in the day then I get to just relax and do anything. It's, you know, like feeling fulfilled and feeling intentional moment by moment and knowing that you are consciously wanting to live every moment.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, just a reminder for those of you who are listening that and are listening to us live, make sure you go to Spreaker.com, get on the platform. You can actually download the app as well. Get on the chat and you can actually ask us questions in the middle of our conversation so that we can interact with you. Any questions that you may have for Carrie? Now, Carrie, I think one of the big things that resonate with a lot of people is we all grow up with plenty of excuses and reasons not to succeed. Plenty of excuses and reasons not to make the money that we want to make, okay? And, you know, if for those of you who are listening, if you are triggered by me saying, you know, make money, it says, oh, this is a show just about everybody. It's just about making money, nothing else. It says, yeah, it is. And let's think about the world we live in today. You know, could you do more? Could you achieve more if you made more money? Right? If you had more money. Like, Carrie, right now, if I gave you like $1 million, $5 million, or $10 million right now, okay, would you splurge that on yourself and just do random things?
No.
Right? What could you potentially do with that?
That question's great. What that allows you to do is to continue to create greater content or a service or a product that you may have as entrepreneurs. And so it's great that you asked that. And again, making that type of money, for example, allows you to understand that that's a marker that you're doing the right thing or you're doing great with whatever service you provide or what product you create and whatever mission you serve.
Right.
And so a good way to put that is my buddy Corey and I, who started Thou Collective together, one of our dreams was, for example, if we could take an example when 3/11, that big tsunami hit in Japan a few years ago, that type of income would allow us to just be like, hey, let's not only just give money to the country of Japan and its relief support, but let's also fly out there and help ourselves. And for us to be able to have that type of mentality and the capabilities is wealth to us.
Right.
And allowing that type of income and the lifestyle will allow us to be able to do that anywhere we go.
Right.
If we're working at Target, we wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, and nothing against people nothing that against work at Target.
Yeah, what I'm saying is when you're tied down to and I just use that because I just thought of it real quick, right? Okay. Or Starbucks or
Walmart.
If I'm looking for man lotion, creating lotion, right? I can't just get up and go help people. I can't go and create more value for others when that is your mission. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on what your mission is.
Right.
And how that aligns with your purpose and what you need in order for you to fulfill that purpose.
Right. So let's deconstruct your money story a little bit, just so that we can help people understand how you ended up making that transition, that pivotal point where, so from what I understand it, you grew up, your dad left the country to go make money. It was supposed to be a one-year contract. I love that story. It's like, I read that, I was like, oh, bam, hit you in the gut type of thing, where he said he's going to make some money. When he makes enough money, he'll come back.
Well, 1 year.
Yeah. In 1 year. 1 year, right?
Exactly.
And here it is, what, 39 years later?
No. Hey, come on, man. I'm not that old, dude. Come on. I was 10, and that was 28 years ago.
Okay, yes. Here I am thinking you're like my age. So 28 years later, he's still there.
He's still there.
Okay. And what's his excuse?
His excuse is that I'm not there to take care of him now. No, I'm just kidding. That's not his excuse, but... It's fear of coming back. It's fear that he's going to come back and not make enough money to support, you know, my mom.
Okay. So it was due to money. It
absolutely.
Was driven by money.
So, 100%.
So in your money story, potentially, you had the opportunity to grow up with a money story that basically says that when it comes to money, if you don't make enough, you don't deserve to have a family. You don't deserve to be around.
Precisely.
You
know? Precisely. Yeah.
I mean, there's so many different layers, but that's just one aspect, yeah. right? That you yeah. could have taken away from that. Mm-hmm. So what do you think was the big way that the big shift that helped you not basically keep that around as a story? Because most of the time when we grow up, we actually adopt the story from our parents, mm-hmm. from our loved ones, because they're the ones that teach us that money story.
Yeah.
What do you think was that big monumental shift that allowed you to break away from that, adopting that for the rest of your life?
Yeah, I think when I hit my rock bottom, when I realized, wow, I have to restart my life all over again. Again, this is 7 years ago. Uh-huh. And just saying, you know what? None of this worked. None of this worked. I have to develop a new mindset, right? And so one of the biggest quotes that I've taken with me thus far, and it's helped guide me, is one of Les Brown's quotes. And he said that making $1 million was one of the easiest things he's ever done. Uh-huh. But believing that it could happen to him was the hardest thing to overcome.
Getting that piece, right?
Or believing that it could happen to him, or right. believing that he deserved it, right? And right. so all these years, I had to restructure my mind, mm-hmm. that I am well able, that I believe that $1 million can come to me, come my way.
Right.
And I always grew up the first, you know, 33 years of my life with a scarcity mentality, a scarcity mindset. Over
I don't know what that is. Nobody has that.
An abundance. an abundance mindset.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have had a lot of fear and overcoming that fear and again, just overcoming my missionary mentality. You know, my grandfathers were missionaries. My father at one point was a missionary, and okay. I even went on a mission. So my thing was always, no, you give your time. You know, you do stuff at a less cost to help people. Right. And that was the brainwashing that I had to go through
right.
and overcome.
Right.
So was there like a certain point where you just had like this epiphany, or was it a gradual process where you were going step by step and...
Yeah, the epiphany was, wow, I'm married, I have a wife, I got married on the Oprah Winfrey Network, nationally televised.
What?
Wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, so, I did not know this about
Yeah, it. this is new.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, surprises, man, you know, that's always good, right? But yeah, you know, my wife and I got married on a show called Don't Tell the Bride, and of course we were engaged, and we were together for over 5 years at that time.
Wait,
it's not like I yeah. met someone on a reality show yeah. and married or not like that.
But you met Eileen on Oprah?
No.
That's
and it's
a story.
Aileen, by the way, not Aileen. Not Eileen.
Wait, so
I like that song, but I come on Eileen, like, but we could check into Aileen.
Don't Tell the Bride is what happened on the
yeah.
show?
No, the show was great. The show was great. We got married. We had a free wedding. And
how did you hooked up with that?
Charming personality. No, I'm just playing.
you know, partially.
No, you know, honestly,
it was a haircut.
It's that the show wasn't the details of it. Like, but the fact that I had made a commitment on national TV.
Yeah.
Right. And then just looking into Aileen's father's eyes, saying, I'm going to take care of your daughter.
Yeah.
And making that commitment, you know, to God and to my family, to her family and to her, obviously.
Yeah.
Right.
And 3 months later, you know, we're flat broke and we're living at my mom's house. Right. Uh-huh. As a married couple.
Mm-hmm.
And Aileen has to pick up a job that's paying her $17 an hour to support us as I'm restarting my life. Wow. That was the pivotal moment, saying, wow, something needs to really radically change.
Yeah.
And that was the pivotal moment for me to just be like, all right, I have to start a new mindset, a new approach to this, and completely turn everything upside down and try new things here and there. And so that was a starting point, really, to this entrepreneurial lifestyle.
Aileen.
Yeah. Holding it down.
And she stuck with you this whole time. That's a stuck. I wouldn't say she's stuck. I mean, you're a pretty cool guy, you know. I'd marry you, but thanks. But you're taken already. Just kidding.
No, you just have the same hairstyle.
Yeah, well, so now I'll just like, you know, copy you with my hairstyle. So wow, thank you for sharing that. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. So what were some of the, you know, there are a lot of people out there that have probably something similar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in hitting rock bottom, like I tell people all the time, my own journey is like, I would never wish on my worst enemy. And yet our journeys tend to be metaphorical representations of people out there who hit their rock bottom, because everybody's rock bottom is a little bit different. But the big question is, you know, when you hit rock bottom, you know, what are some of the sequences? What are some of the gemstones that you could probably share that, you know, other people, you know, have tried all these different ways and they can't seem to get away from that rock bottom place? You know, there are people who get broke and they just stay broke. People who like hit that rock bottom just stay there and then start to manifest all these different reasons how or why to stay there. What would you say was one of the big steps that you took that got you out of that place?
Yeah, there's really no one step, to be honest with you, Wei. I tried and have implemented so many different things, you know, as I'm here today still learning.
Right.
But I really think that one of them was just my reason and knowing what my purpose is.
Right.
Just going back to knowing why you are here on this earth.
Uh-huh.
And every single time you face a challenge or an obstacle, it's going back to understanding what my purpose is. So my purpose is to build kings, and then in the process, I will be able to live that lifestyle as well. And so it's really, my goal was not to make more money. It was to add more value and receive whatever comes, whether that be financial or mental victories.
Right.
You know, and really, that I don't know how else to explain that. I've been open to any type of channel of receiving income or that, you know. And so, for example, like right now I have a fitness business, I have a real estate business. I do my podcast and my book. And more recently, we were able to become restaurateurs and invest in our very first restaurant. And so all that became a collective of all these avenue streams for me to just add value and plug in and just really become a solution provider for other people.
Right.
And that's really, I don't know how else to explain it, but that's just how it's been done for me.
So how was it? How was that shift in your mindset and the shift in your approach and how you live and how you perceive life? How was that different from before?
Oh, sure. Well, before it was just like you work like an ant every single day, and you hopefully save for the next 30 years and work as hard as you can so that you can, by the time you retire, you know, you saved up enough money.
Right.
And you could collect from the government, you know, for the rest of your life. And that was it. And so even up until 2-3 years ago, I had my parents just badgering me, like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing on the real estate? And just go find a job and just see yourself as an ant.
You know, that's so what my mom. Your parents telling you that?
Oh yeah,
they said ant. They actually said ant.
My mom did, right? And so
see yourself as an ant.
See myself as an ant, or
not like a relative ant, but like an ant.
No, like the insect.
Because if you look like my aunt, she's an amazing entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
So
no.
I don't think she's mean. Yeah, I don't think
she's mean. The insect kind.
Yeah, the insect kind. Right.
Yeah, and so it was really. Oh, and another thing too was just really surrounding myself with people who are doing you know, things out there that are making a difference and making an impact and making solid income. So even out to this day, I would say that the five guys that I reach out to most, or I call, you know, a good friend of mine, are all either multimillionaires or I thought about this the other day too. Okay, like even the guy who's making the least is making at least $750,000 a year, you know. And so knowing that I make less than all those guys, it just puts me in a perspective where, wow, I have so much to gain from and learn from these guys and continue to be inspired by surrounding myself with them.
You know, there's that saying, like, your average IQ is, you know, the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
Or your salary, too, right? They say salary, too.
Yeah, anything.
Salary, income, prosperity, your energy,
exactly.
All that stuff.
Yeah,
I really believe that. Right. Totally do.
Yeah, wow, that's I can't believe your mom said aunt.
Yep. God bless her soul, man. I love her to death.
Well, yeah. And here's the thing is how, what are the ways we break away from that? Because I'm sure you figured this out too, mm-hmm. which is we can't poo-poo on our parents.
No.
For mm-hmm. doing the best they could, teaching with what they only know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like toolboxes, right? Mm-hmm. If they have a hammer and a screwdriver, and that's all they have in toolbox, but you learned how to use a hammer, how to use a crowbar, how to use a screwdriver, how to use a planer, how to use a leveler, and all mm-hmm. these different things, you have more tools.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if they're saying, no, we don't know how to use that tool. I mean, you know, my father's kind of the same way, and, you know, I love him to bits. And, you know, he's got his own journey as well. And what he doesn't understand that I do, he doesn't think is real.
Mm-hmm.
So if he doesn't understand it, you know, super brilliant guy because of my dad, we have some amazing things on this planet, PhD, electrical engineering, and if he doesn't understand it, then it's not a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll see it when I believe it. No, mm-hmm. I'll believe it when I see it, mm-hmm. you know, which is kind of out of order because if you don't believe in it first, how can you create it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which is kind of what you had to shift there, sounds like. You had to create this belief system that
mm-hmm.
I don't need to adhere. And it sounds like a lot of the stuff that you went through in the beginning was trying to figure out how to adapt to this cultural expectation too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and every culture has it, and not just because we're Asian here and stuff like that. But
yeah.
But every culture has their own little perception
mm-hmm.
on how money, prosperity mm-hmm. is to be created in our lives. Right,
right. Right.
Could you touch on that a little bit in terms of
how that? So, man, you know, at 21, I got my first corporate job at Fox Sports as a highlight producer. That's when my mom jumped for joy, right? Mm-hmm. Or as you guys say, jump for joy, right?
Jump for joy.
Jump for joy. So she did, man. She's like, oh my gosh, Kara, I'm so proud of you. You're 21. You already have your first corporate gig at Fox Sports, reputable company. And I was like, yeah, mom, just give me like 7 to 8 years. I'll be the next Rob Fukuzaki. You know what I mean? And I was like, yeah, this is the dream job. And it only took me a year and a half to find myself 45 pounds heavier. I was like 5'6", 170.
Holy cow.
I'm looking like a little meatball with a head, you know? I was like, this is not the look. This is not the look that I want to go for.
I'm assuming this is before Aileen.
This is before Aileen.
Oh, we should.
And so what's funny is that I went from that to joining a rock band as a frontman for the next 7-8 years.
Wow.
But that, you know, mom wasn't too happy about that either, right? She's like, what are you doing? Like, you try to be a rock star. What do you do? Go get a real job.
Wait, so and, how can you left the Fox Sports
to join the band?
Yeah.
And didn't you perform at a really cool place?
Oh, we performed at many cool places. We've opened for major acts. You know, the member from Switchfoot produced our albums. We played at the House of Blues, the Whiskey, the Roxy, the El Rey Theater, every place you can imagine. And we did well for a while as a local gig, as a local band.
Yeah.
But when that fell through, that's when I had to reset, you know, everything, my life. But during that time, I was very entrepreneurial. You know, I had an eBay business going. I sold jeans on eBay, you know, and always entrepreneurial. And so I even went to a Costco liquidation hub, got pallets and pallets of liquidated items, had a storefront, and sold all the liquidated Costco goods, marked up 40%, and still had it, you know, able to do ventures such as that. So I was always very entrepreneurial minded.
Yeah, but it sounds like you had that spirit in you from like day one.
From day one, yeah, absolutely. But again, confused, right? Because of culture expectations, like you said.
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, the challenge that we face as entrepreneurs is that if you find yourself feeling that you were born with that spirit,
mm-hmm.
you know, the world we live in today doesn't necessarily cultivate that. And independent of any culture, our cultures, Asian cultures, really, you know, it really depends on the kind of family that you're born into. And mm-hmm. even so, there is no tried and true, like, systematic approach
mm-hmm.
of making sure that you succeed
mm-hmm.
with
mm-hmm.
that spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
We actually do have a question from a listener. Would you mind answering it?
No, I don't mind
at
all.
Okay, so Amy Steinberg. She says here, that's what is my situation right now. My husband is working, and I'm trying to build my caregiving business. What do you do to keep yourself from getting discouraged?
Well, I guess I would ask you, Amy, how much do you believe in this business, and what is your purpose behind it? And I guess at the end of the day, your results will have to show, and you got to put in that extra time and effort into building this career if that's what you truly want to do, and if that's the purpose that you feel as yearning inside your soul.
Right.
And really just what it comes down to is just loving your husband for where he is and what he sees, and understanding that, nurturing that. But at the same time, you got to be a boss and a beast and start to show results. Right. And everything else will come together. That's my opinion, Amy. But yeah. Keep doing your thing, man. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, no, that's really good. I mean, you know, do you ever get discouraged?
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
You know, right? You're right. As an entrepreneur, I don't think not one day goes by where you have this pang or twinge of discouragement of just this being human, mm-hmm. right? Just being human and just being, you know, sensitive to certain things. And as you become more sensitive to the needs of others, yeah. you can't help but feel that discouragement every once in a while. And I think that's just comes part of the territory as being an entrepreneur, is that that's part of what makes entrepreneurship so great. Mm-hmm. That's part of what allows us to grow, because that discouragement and that ability to be able to grow from that will literally help your business grow as well.
Well, let me ask you, Wei, what allows you to break through from your daily your daily fears?
Yeah, I think it's very similar to what you're talking about, is identifying with the purpose.
Mm.
You know, I always have this mantra in my journal and just posted in random places, where what is the highest commitment? What is my highest commitment to the people that I'm here to serve? In other words, we always talk about and hear about people who are in relationships and say, would you take a bullet for me? Would you take a grenade for me, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what he said? What does he say?
I would take a really intense.
That's Bruno Mars. I would take a grenade for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Sing that one line for us, though, Wei.
I don't remember how
Jess,
it goes.
Can you sing that line?
No, I can't remember.
It's too high. Yeah.
It's really high.
Yeah, it's really high. Anyway,
I love the guy, by the way. Yeah, have you ever seen him in concert?
I have not.
He is
not
an amazing performer. You got to see him at least once.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's a total headliner. I mean, you watch him perform, dancing, everything. His whole band, everything. It's really cool. But anyway, none of them are Bruno Mars. But the whole point is that, you know, we talk about that to the people that we love and care about. But if you can find that one thread that you can say without a doubt that I'd be willing to take a bullet for this type of these people that I serve for this reason, that defines your highest commitment.
Mm-hmm.
If you're willing to die, if you're willing to literally take a bullet, take a grenade for the people that you're here to serve.
Mm-hmm. Can I add to that?
Yeah.
So just going back to Amy, just because I feel like I have a heart for Amy, man, you know, because I understand, right? That just that the distortion there is even within the own family.
Right.
And passion, we hear that word a lot, right? Every YouTube motivational content has that word passion in it. And so it's kind of watered down these days. It's just it's become a buzzword. But when you really truly understand what the word passion means a suffering. You know, the movie, The Passion of the Christ.
Right.
That meant that, like you said, you're going to take a bullet, that you're going to die for your message.
Right.
And so are you willing to die for your message? Are you willing to die for your purpose? Are you willing to die for your existence and what you're about?
Right.
And I guess that question, if you guys ask me that, yes, I'm 100% ready to die for my message.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and it doesn't mean that you literally have to die. I mean, it's a metaphorical representation of the level of commitment and conviction that you have to what you're here to do. So, yeah, no, I really appreciate you going there with that, because I actually didn't even think about going that direction, and that totally worked. So Amy goes, oh, yeah, it's my calling. So, yeah, so I think if it is your calling, you know, then the daily trials and tribulations, the frustrations, and even money challenges become, what's the word, superfluous, becomes trivial, you know, to what you're really here to do. All it is a feedback mechanism on what you need to do to, you know, get to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can get past one challenge, then it elevates your business that one step further, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is one challenge that either of you, I mean, you could tell, one challenge that you've recently overcome that you felt rippled out to impact your either business or your life?
Oh, you want to go?
No, guess first.
Yeah, you know, I've learned in the last 2 years, after writing my book and my podcast, you know, I always wanted to kind of be like the nice guy, like people pleaser, right? I always wanted to be liked by everyone. And then I realized that.
To be liked, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let's just be honest. Like, we all want to be liked. We all want to be acknowledged and thought of.
But even culturally, like in Asian cultures, it's mm-hmm. not even the need to be liked, but the need to fit in.
Sure.
Or
right?
Blend in or disappear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a Japanese coach is like, okay. Just play as small as you can.
Yeah, just be a wallflower, right?
Right.
And so now that I have a much bigger purpose, I realize that, hey, I may not be everyone's cup of tea, right, but I'm still going to share my message in a vocal and loud way because that's my purpose.
Well, that's what Confucius said, right?
Confucius say,
the key to failure is trying to please everyone.
There you go.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Please, right?
Yeah,
please, yeah.
Yeah. And if this is offensive to any of you listening out there, just get over it, because the message is much deeper than
that's right. That's right. And we're all Asian here anyway. Yeah.
On this episode, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So really, really cool concepts, really cool areas right here. So what's next for you, Carrie? I mean, what's coming up in the horizon now that you've gotten, you know, all these pieces in place? You've gotten gotten out of that 7 year like rock bottom place. Mm-hmm. You've launched yourself into the stratospheric area. I mean, what's coming up for you next?
Yeah. So I've been graciously accepted to a speakers coalition, for example, recently.
Awesome.
By your friend Allison.
Yeah.
I've spoken on stage with once you're a TEDx speaker, you're always a TEDx speaker, right? So I've just shared stages with this guy named Billionaire PA. So I guess just really expanding my platform as a speaker. My goal really is to travel all around the world with my wife and with Val Collective, my media company, and being able to travel from place to place months at a time. Uh-huh. And to speak and be able to shoot and film short documentaries of amazing people, not necessarily like famous entrepreneurs or celebrities per se, but people who have mastered their craft.
Right.
And people who are honorable in that sense of holistically sticking to their pure identity, and doing some amazing things. Again, I always say, regardless of their circumstances, right? Because again, that falls in line with your excuses.
Yeah,
you know, it's regardless of your circumstance, because we all have external circumstances. We all have exterior forces that cannot be controlled, and in that sense, we don't really have freedom, but we have the freedom. 100% control of how to react and how to create our purpose within that frame.
Right.
So again, it's just now I really want to, my wife and I want to travel the world and see different parts and really walk in the ends of the earth. And I really do mean that. Like, I really want to, obviously we got to fly places, but then walk the ends of the earth to meeting new people and developing communities globally of like-minded people.
Yeah. Very awesome. And how would you describe your relationship with money now?
Sure. Yeah, I love it, man. Like, I see it as a vehicle, again, to create more value and to be able to do greater things on a bigger scale that I truly believe in. Uh-huh. And so that means even on a smaller scale, getting greater equipment, you know, being able to have that type of income will allow me to invest in my own business, right? Whether that means having greater equipment, more resources, a team that could allow us to do more.
Right.
And allowing us to travel without having to do a Kickstarter campaign or anything like that, right? So it really ties in, and I have a beautiful relationship with money, in that the money that I bring in is a marker that I'm doing something legit.
Right.
Money that comes in creates more value for other people, allows me to just give back freely and as often as I like, just because I can.
Right.
And it really is a vehicle to give back and to, again, like what Corey and I said, we just want to be able to go anywhere at any time and be able to give freely to anybody who needs help.
Right. And I love what you, and I hope those of you who are listening, whether it be live or not, caught that one piece right there when he said, you know, I want to be able to travel without having to launch a Kickstarter campaign. But who thinks about that?
Mm.
Who thinks about that being a way to resolve, to get what they want? Because most of the time, most people use money as an excuse. I don't have the money to travel, so I just won't travel.
Mm-hmm.
And I just won't go. So even in that statement, it shows kind of where your mindset is at when it comes to money, where your your beingness is around money, is that it's not that money is a stopping block. You just have a different way of bringing it in to get what you want, because you're still going to travel. You're just going to use a Kickstarter campaign.
That's good, and that's huge.
And that's not something that you were probably born with, something that you had to basically disrupt the flow of what generationally was being handed down to you, and you just said what, no, no more, right? Because you saw what it created, the circumstance it created just 7 years ago, and then from there you just launch yourself back. Has it been, and the journey, has it been fast, has it been furious, or has it been just kind of like incremental for you?
I believe it's been incremental, and obviously I was always at that now mentality. Even now I'm very like, come on, let's go, right? And I think that's natural for, you know, I think people like us just to always just want to keep going in terms of like having a plan and having a game plan for your goals. Yeah, I think it's good to have that. I'm also in the creative process as well. So entrepreneurs have to be creative, understanding that takes time.
Yeah.
And so even more recently, I have adopted this Kaizen mentality. So Kaizen is a word that's being popularized by a lot of American businesses today. It's a Japanese word that the meaning behind it is continual improvement. And that's it. How do you define that? How do you incorporate and implement that into your life?
Right.
And there's this analogy that water is hot at 211 degrees.
Right.
So it's hot, but at 212 degrees, it starts to boil. And when it starts to boil, it produces steam.
Right.
And steam is powerful enough to push a locomotive train.
Right.
And sometimes it's that 1 degree difference that's going to allow you to just explode.
I love that.
And so for the past seven years, I feel like every single day I've just been improving by 1 degree, improving by 1%.
Right.
And you know what, to be honest with you, like I'm so excited to get to 212. I'm not even there yet, right? And once I hit 212, guess what? I start again from wherever I start and just continue to build 1% every single time. I finish that breakthrough, I'm excited. And progress, Tony Robbins would always say this, that progress is happiness, right? And so as long as every single day, I learn from you guys today 1%, 1 degree. Right. And obviously, we want to learn more, but at least make that your goal.
Right.
And man, it's just been a great incremental journey, and I loved it. And I'm now today I can sit back and say I am so grateful for every pain and obstacle that I faced.
Yeah. So would you say that you've actually hit 212 a couple times to kind of as a up level, hit 212?
Yeah.
And then bring out and get a new pot, a bigger pot.
Great analogy right there, Wei. Right? I didn't even think about that pot.
Yeah.
You know,
get the pot.
Go with the pot with the butt.
Pour the water with the pot.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
We have another question right here, actually just came in. It says, how do you not appear desperate when you're in that rock bottom place?
Well, how do you feel that you're being desperate, Amy?
Right. And so the question comes back to you, Amy, is how do you feel that you're being desperate? How are you being desperate? How do you think, what makes you think that you are being desperate? Right.
Yeah.
So as we wait for her to answer, you know, it's kind of interesting. I think about the time when I... you know, I've hit rock bottom quite a few times in my life, and then you know, what has kept me down there was operating out of desperation. It became even more frustrating. In fact, I think the desperation piece hit in probably when I felt I was on a decline, and when it started to come down, and then I started acting desperate, and it just accelerated it. I just dove into that rock bottom place. And then from there, being desperate did nothing for me, and then I would find a way to get back out again. And I think after hitting it a few times, being broke, like you were saying, but I was so prideful.
That's good.
That I didn't have, that I didn't even think about reaching out to parents, reaching out to friends, reaching out to my sister. Because I told my sister the story years later. She goes, she had tears in her eyes. She said, why didn't you reach out to me and tell me you were that broke? I said, I was embarrassed. You know, culturally, that was unacceptable, what I created there. And so I would rather just die for that versus dying for something bigger. So that leads to the question when we're talking about dying for your purpose and your cause. Would you rather die for something great, or would you rather die for something so small that nobody will even notice?
Good point.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So basically, she said... I have lots of ways to grow my business. Money issues always get in the way.
but like more specifically, like what so we could break that down.
Right.
Yeah.
So what kind of money issues are we talking about?
Sure.
You know, and are they, and the fact that they say always.
Yeah.
You know, that's a universal quantifier, right?
It sounds more of a mindset.
Yeah.
Than a physical circumstance, Amy.
Right.
So please let us know. Yeah.
Because here's the thing about, you know, let's do a little shift here, okay? How does money not get in the way of what you already do? You know, I'm assuming, Amy, that you probably drive a car. We all drive a car. And if we spend money to get gas, does that get in the way of the car? On the opposite, actually, quite the opposite. It actually allows you to move the car forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how are we interpreting and perceiving that money? Always. Always means every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Never means every single time. So it's very few things in our life that really qualify under the always and a never. You know, one of the mindset pieces I think about always, and you know, you can tell me what you think about this, Carrie, where, you know, when we use always and never, it's almost because our mind's getting lazy at really truly understanding what's happening.
Yeah.
It's like a generalization, right?
Yeah, it's being blinded to your inner conversations, and it's good that we're actually talking. And Amy, I would encourage you to actually start reading these things out loud to yourself, because whatever you can reveal, you can actually transform. And so a lot of it as coaches here, right, is allowing your clients to bring their inner conversations out loud. And so sounds like there are certain fears and denial that's being associated with money or the end result that you're wanting to achieve.
Right.
You know, and a good example is my last real estate transaction.
Uh-huh.
Was for a pretty nice chunk of change. It was a $1.25 million home. And the interaction between myself and the listing agent got sideways, because obviously there's a lot of money on the line, and the real estate agent was just giving me a fit, right? Just giving it to me, like, I've been in this for 25 years and you're still young and this and this and that. And I was like, hey, let's meet up and let's try to like figure this out. And as I got to know her and sat face to face and calmed down and we talked, I wanted to get into her understanding and psyche of where she's coming from. And what I came to understand was that I had gotten to know some of the few members of her brokerage.
Uh-huh.
And she kept saying, well, dude, she makes this much amount, you know, and he makes this kind of money. And if you're not making $300,000, you're nobody. No one thinks you're anybody in that brokerage if you're not making at least 300 grand. So I'm like, aha. Okay. So the reason why she's so upset at me is because of her fear of how she's going to be perceived as,
right?
You know, mm-hmm. as an underperforming agent,
right?
You know,
like, so it matters like, more.
It matters more,
right?
That
for face or reputation.
Yeah, yeah. In association with what she brings in, so the commission, which is like what $37,500, would add or subtract from her reputation.
Huh. Mm.
And once I was able to tap in and reassure her,
right,
that we're going to get this deal done,
uh-huh,
is when everything just turned into a fruition. Like, it was awesome. Mm. And we did the deal, and then we became friends and all that kind of stuff. And
nice.
So it's understanding, you know,
right,
really what the deeper level of how you associate yourself with the relationship to money.
Right. Yeah.
And sounds like you have a knack for turning foes into friends through money.
No, I don't know about, yeah.
I mean, like the bike you mentioned, you know, the bike guru was out to get you.
Well, we made it clear on our podcast that's coming out tomorrow. But there was a miscommunication that I had put a hit on somebody.
Whoa,
that I did. And I thought that was a story.
Whoa.
So I made it clear on the interview, and it wasn't the case. But he did contact me to find out where the source of this conflict was coming from, because people were threatened and all that kind of stuff.
Jeez.
Too. So, yeah,
that's intense. Sounds like an intense podcast, and we might make sure that we put out the information so our audience can actually get into that. So
yeah, that'd be
great. We actually have one more question here from Jennifer Stinnett. She goes, "How does Carrie keep his productivity on track running his current business? Productivity equals sanity!"
Oh yeah. Well, first of all, you love what you do.
Businesses.
You love what you do. I love it, and I do always take the time. Nowadays, I do it maybe 3 to 4 days a week. But every single day, well, first of all, if you don't have everything on calendar, it's not going to get done.
Right.
So I have everything on my calendar, and I'm constantly checking, and you make your time so valuable, right? Yeah. And so you do that first and foremost. Again, it's a mentality and a lifestyle that you have to adopt as you go.
Right.
But really, it's starting the day off. I start off very early. So I'll wake up at between – I used to wake up at 3:30 in the morning. And I would do an hour of just journaling and writing down 10 things that I'm absolutely grateful for, and then writing down 10 awesome. Affirmations and validations about myself. And then I take 10 more minutes of just meditation or prayer, or I read a script that I enjoy, and I meditate on those thoughts.
Wow. That's awesome.
And then when you do that, you fall in love with yourself again. You know, when you fall in love with yourself and you love your life, then everything else comes easily. And I'd normally just tackle all the tough tasks beginning.
Right.
At the very beginning. And so it's not that hard. If you think about guys like Mark Cuban and Elon Musk and all these guys, I mean, these guys are doing quadruple multi-billion-dollar businesses. So you have to ask, how do they handle that, right? Mm-hmm. I've met the Wizard of Wall Street, Julian Roberts in New York, Bill Huang of Tiger Asia. These guys are investing and handling billions of dollars, yet they have so much time for their family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a small nugget, you know, just daily handling daily tasks, which comes relatively easy to me. So
right.
I think if you truly are behind your message and you love what you do, it really is no like, oh, I got so much I got to do. And is that what, am I answering Amy's question there?
That's Jennifer's question.
Jennifer's question. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think it does, because yeah. I think the calendar thing, I mean, it's gotten to a point where I believe in the whole calendar, the whole mm-hmm. time blocking. It's a lot of what I teach into our students here,
mm-hmm.
the time blocking aspects. And what's interesting is I find the days where I have empty blocks of nothing.
Yes.
I sit there and I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah, that's true, man.
I'm like,
that is true.
I guess I'll go play some video games or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's happening.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so okay, cool. So Jennifer says, yep, so thank you for that. And then Amy basically is clarifying a little bit. She goes, when you're worried about basic survival, it's hard to know where money is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Paychecks are allotted before they come. Money is sometimes in the way. I think that comes from you're just having faith in your path. A lot of it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, prosperity doesn't care how it comes into your life. But more often than not, I found that when it comes to money, people actually are choking their own flow. And it's not because money doesn't want to come into your life. You know, I mean, I'm sure in your travels, Jessica, you talked about how, you know, people are able to just manifest from seemingly mm-hmm. nothing to create, you know, to survive
mm-hmm.
as they're traveling and different things, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, millennials, they have a very interesting mindset for those who travel the world of creating this spiritual energetic practice of just manifesting things.
Yeah. I mean, and making that like a lifestyle, not just when in times of need.
Right.
And finding the community, you know, finding the people to surround themselves with, to feel that support and the network and the help and the creativity.
Yeah. What I found is the missing piece for a lot of millennials, though, is the missing piece in what we define as a formulaic definition of prosperity, which is equals to lifestyle, which is millennials are really good at creating, plus money. But they leave the money part out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so looking to bridge that gap for millennials is a current big goal of ours. And then from our generations or the older generations, prosperity equals money, period. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that, you're not prosperous.
Mm-hmm.
So then there is the bridging of the gap between the money and the lifestyle.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and lifestyle, there's a lot of different ways and nuances within lifestyle and money itself as well. So I think, you know, for Amy, you know, I think really it's just kind of getting in touch deeper in touch and actually building the relationship again with your faith and your purpose and everything.
Let me ask Amy just personally, like, what are the last maybe 2 to 3 books that she's read?
Yeah. Yeah. What are the last 3 books that you've read, Amy? That's a good question. Because they say successful people, prosperous people read all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Elon Musk.
Yeah.
You just said you read all the time.
Yeah.
Books on books.
Oh, I know. I've seen his place.
And going back to Jennifer's question too, it's also learning how to say no to certain things as well. That was a big one for me.
Mm.
You know, I would always try to be that that guy who said yes to everything, who wanted to be like everyone's hero, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really understanding that now, I don't know if she's married or not, you know, but now I have a mortgage to pay, a wife to take care of.
Right.
And a lot of dreams that I want to achieve. And so when you don't feel that certain meetups or friends or even events, it's just a waste of your time, and it's really eliminating the time wasters out of your life as well.
Yeah. So that song, I Need a Hero, really resonated with you growing up, huh? I need a hero.
That might be too old now. I don't know.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Who's that by the way?
I don't remember.
Is it Ricky Martin?
No. What?
I was thinking like Hero Ricky Martin. Ricky Martin.
Yeah, Mariah Carey Hero? That one?
No. Okay. There's so many hero songs out there. I can actually Google right now, and then we have to wrap. But
What's the last book that you read, Carrie?
The last book that I read is the last book that I finished was, I want to say, it was by Mark Munson or Mark Manson, and it was How to Not Give a F.
Hmm.
Oh,
good
cool.
book. And I'm rereading The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz.
Great book. Mm. It's actually on our shelf. It's like a staple in this office.
In fact, Amy should read that, or Jennifer should read that book. Oh, wait.
No,
which
Amy.
One? Yeah, Amy should read
The Magic of Thinking Big. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, that's one of the things that a lot of people talk about all the time, is what changed, what shift is I just started thinking bigger.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, yep. You think you expand what's possible, then it actually minimizes the challenge that's in front of you right now. Bonnie Tyler.
No.
Bonnie Tyler.
No, I don't know. Is she country or?
No. She's actually is from the movie Footloose.
Oh, okay. Yeah, never heard.
Okay. What book are you reading right now, Wei?
The book, I have a stack of books actually reading, but one of my favorite books is quickly to become a favorite book of mine is called The 1 Minute Millionaire or something like that.
Cool.
Yeah, the book is structured cool. It's like half of the side is a fictional parable, mm-hmm. and the other side of the page is an actual left brain. So it speaks to both the left and the right brain.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really cool book. But I'm looking at the clock right now, and we're running a little bit over. So Carrie, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here, sharing the gemstones, and I hope that people were able to extract from your stories and everything that you talked about this time. How are the ways that people can connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. They can just go to carriehokama.com. That's where they have information about my book, about all my podcast episodes, mm-hmm. and has links to my social media handles, which is I'm most live or interactive on Instagram and Facebook.
Instagram,
that'd be
Facebook.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's carriehokama.com.
Yes. You can email me at carrie@carriehokama.com.
carrie@carriehokama.com. That's carrie@carriehokama.com.
Hi.
Okay, cool. Let's see. Amy says, I read Wei's book. I have a wonderful husband. I haven't read much lately. Just had cataracts there, so I can start reading more soon. Awesome. So yeah, that's the key thing. If you can just commit yourself to reading and reading and reading every single day, at least, you know, The Slight Edge talks about at least 10 pages a day. Or listen to podcasts, you know, such as this one and Carrie's, which is Own Yourself podcast. And you can find us on iTunes, find us on Spreaker, and you can also go to thesixfigureacademy.com. That's basically /radio. Where you can see all the upcoming episodes and the past episodes. Once again, Carrie, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
I would love to have
you
back again as this show continues to develop and as you continue to go down your path.
I learned so much from you guys. Thank you.
Awesome. So let's kind of wrap it up again. Join us next week, Tuesday at noon, for our next show. It'll be Jessica and me talking about some interesting topics around money, and we'll share that with you. Stay connected. Follow us on Spreaker, follow us on Facebook, follow us on YouTube, all those different things. Make sure you connect with Carrie and his tribe, and we'll catch you next week.
Woo!
Enjoy the music.
All right, bye, guys.
All right.
Bye.